The number one trait women look for in a man is a sense of humor. And if you don't think you have one, guess what? Yes, you do. And I can reach my tiny little hand down deep inside of you and pull it out. I've worked with hundreds of men and we've got their banter game up to where women are responding. They're not getting ghosted. They're getting dates and they're getting, you know, something else. So if you want to knock more than just her socks off, go to kristenandchill.com. If you banter better, you'll date better.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to know the hidden meaning behind what women say and do? Then check out The Chictionary. It's the Wing Girl Method's manual that gives you a full rundown of all the things women say that confuse men, written in dictionary format. Go get a copy of The Chictionary by going to winggirlmethod.com/chick. That's winggirlmethod.com/chick. Coming up on this week's episode of the Ask Women podcast, we have Jim Wolf, who is an expert on telling you and telling us how to keep her. We don't really talk about keeping a girl. We talk about attracting her most of the time. So he is the expert on the stages of date 3 to date 9 to getting a girlfriend and then hopefully turning that into something long lasting and wonderful. And he's going to share all of his secrets on how to do that on this show. So keep listening. Hey, welcome to the Ask Women podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Carney, here with Marnie Kinross. And today we have someone who helps attract the right woman and helps you keep her. And he's author of The Attract and Keep Her System, Jim Wolf. Thanks for joining us, Jim.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome. This is my very official interview. Hey, that's my very official interview voice, by the way. I don't usually introduce people that succinctly.
Wow, that was great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Usually she puts them down a lot more, so you got lucky with your introduction, so it's good.
I'm really hoping she'll do that a little more. I feel a little jealous about that.
I know. Well, I don't know if Kristen wants me to give this disclaimer, but it's a bit of a hard day for her. Every day is a hard day for her, but today... I don't know if you want me to share information or just give it the disclaimer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care.
Okay. Well, sadly, she has to put her adorable dog down tomorrow. So she's a little depressed. She's losing her love. She's having a breakup, the extreme breakup, becoming a widow. So it's very sad for her. Yeah, you are. It's going to be a hard transition. Widow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Jim will help you soulmate dog, because Jim's specialty is not typically what we talk about, but we should talk about it a lot more because I think a lot of the guys that listen to this podcast are now taking the advice that we deliver and using it to get into relationships or date lots of women. And Jim is an expert in, what's your system called? Getter and keeper. Basically, like, how do you keep the girl after you attract her? And also something that you specialize in is helping
you keep her in your basement.
Right, exactly. How do you decide?
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's hope so. Which women are right for you? Because anyway, I want you to talk about this. Forget about me talking about it. I want you to explain what that means for guys. Like, let's start with, how do you pick the right woman for you?
Well, that's a really deep question, Marty. I appreciate that first off the bat. So that's a great question for men, because I think that in general, most men, when they're dating, they kind of have one particular woman in mind and they just want to know how to get her. And I really think that's kind of the wrong approach. And it's not generally the approach that women use, in my opinion. So for the most part, I think that's where men are at. And instead, if a guy will say, okay, why don't we try to find out which women are interested in me, and then raise their interest and kind of see who they are over a period of time, that's a better approach. And so most men, when they see a woman they find attractive, they already think that she's qualified to like be their girlfriend, be their wife, hook
she's
up
perfect.
With them. Yeah, exactly. They already kind of have that in their mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I just got an email today, and this is an email not the exact same wording every single time, but that I've gotten over and over and over again. Oh, there's this girl at work, or there's this girl at whatever place. I think she's perfect for me. I haven't really talked to her yet, but and I just find that so interesting. It's like, no, the correct sentence is you want to do her and you find her attractive. That's she's not perfect for you. But basically I'm saying like, what does that mean to select somebody that is good for you? And what does it mean for men when they're talking about a woman who's perfect for them? And how do they expand on that?
There's actually a lot of things to look for. And this is why when guys email me about wanting to be with a woman or to marry her, I always recommend that you wait at least 2 years before you actually get married to someone. Because in the beginning stages of dating, let's say, Marty, that you like someone, or Kristen, you like someone, and you're having a really good time, and you're like, oh, finally, like, this is great, like, cool, this is awesome, I can actually see myself with this person. Well, during those first few months, like, you're going to have a lot of chemicals going through your body, a lot of hormones going on, the attraction is going to be really strong at first, and you're really not thinking clearly in terms of, like, who would make a good long-term partner for you. So it actually takes about 2 years for someone's personality to come out completely and for you to really know them, to actually make a decision about whether you can be with them or not, or whether they're good for you or not.
So no matter what age,
that surprises me that it does actually take 2 full years. Cause I mean, I give like a good, probably 3 months, and then I'm like, hey baby, here I am. Do people really usually wait that long to truly reveal themselves?
Yeah. So the 2 to 3 month thing is usually how long it takes for you to actually have a solid long-term relationship in terms of being someone's girlfriend or a boyfriend. And so, you know, that's usually when that happens in terms of like, so most guys, when they first meet a woman, they think like, oh my God, I got to get the first date right. You know, I got to go for a kiss. They're really worried about that. And that's cool. But I really think like the beginning stages of dating, the first kind of checkpoint is the third date. Because if a woman will go on a third date with you, usually you can make it to like date number 6 to 9, first 2 to 3 months. And that's about how long it usually takes for a woman to say like, hey, like, where's this relationship headed? And that's kind of when you can ask her to be your girlfriend. And so that's that kind of initial stage. And so you're right. That's usually when that happens, about that 2 or 3 month mark that you mentioned. Then after that, that's when you really start to get to know them in a different way. Like you're together. A lot of people after a year or so move in together or something like that. I don't necessarily recommend that, but you spend a lot more time together and you actually start finding out who that person is in terms of how they are in a relationship with you. And so it takes a long time for your emotions to calm down, for your hormones to kind of chill out a little bit, and for you to see like, oh, can I really handle the fact that this person never puts the forks back in the drawer? Like, is that going to be a deal breaker for me? Like, that doesn't happen in the first 6 months. And after a couple of years, all of that stuff,
had I known before, I wouldn't have.
That's the key. You got to know before. And so that's kind of the biggest mistake that guys make, in my opinion, whether it's the first date or getting married, is just running headfirst as fast as possible into a bad situation or into rejection, instead of just kind of taking a little bit more time and having a measured approach. Even though you still have to lead, I think you should lead a little bit more slowly and kind of let things play out and let her take some steps towards you as well.
Which I like what you're saying. I'm not sure that I love giving anything a timeline because people are so different. Like once, if you get out of a divorce, you're very clear on what you want, what your values are. You may communicate differently. So I forget the phrase that you just used, but like, instead of just giving it time, like the 2 year mark, what are things you can do once you're settled in a relationship to figure out who this person is without, you know, becoming a private investigator and, you know, poking the bear every day saying like, who are you? Who are you? Freak out on me. Get mad about, you know, like, how do you communicate these things with the woman in your life in a safe, mature place so that if you didn't want to get married in 4 months because you happen to have a feeling about this person, that you could do that. Because some people do just click, or they do communicate better than other individuals do. And a lot of those things come out faster.
So first of all, I just don't think that 4 months is enough time. And that's just my opinion. I think that you got to kind of let it play out more. And it doesn't mean that you can't be in a serious relationship and get engaged. I just don't think you should sign a legal contract that has all those implications until you really kind of do your due diligence, I guess, on whether that person is actually a good choice for you. And yeah, you can be really clear about what you want. But again, like, especially for a man, your vision is going to be really clouded in the first year or two when you have those high emotions and high hormones running through your body. And I think, like, so there's a couple of ways that you can filter women in and out based on whether they're the right choice for you or not. And the first one is something that I think women are really good at this, and they start doing it right away. And that's just kind of seeing how the guy reacts to various situations. And for a man, like, we don't necessarily do that automatically. And so I think you have to let it go over a little bit more time to see how she reacts to different situations. And that's going to tell you who she is. And then, of course, there's the really serious stuff. And that's kind of like these big conversations about how you're going to handle finances together and how you're going to manage your house and all these kind of things that are not really romantic. And that's another reason to wait a little while too, because, you know, in the first 6 months, at least for sure, you want to be having fun a lot and not really being that serious. I think that there's a myth in our society that love is serious, and actually love is light and playful. And that's one of the big reasons why it's difficult to have a healthy relationship in today's society, because it's a myth that love has to be so serious so fast. And I think we need to slow it down, have a little more fun. And then, you know, when the time is right, have that conversation like, hey, if we take this next step and get married, here's what I would like to do in terms of our finances. What do you think about that? And kind of really think about that serious stuff at the appropriate time, not necessarily the first 2, 3, 4, 6 months you're together.
I agree with that. I remember when I first got married, I wrote a book called like 101 Questions Before I Do. I never published it or anything, but just like interesting things that you should discuss in like a safe space just to kind of know who the person is. But what about people who invest too much time in somebody, like, you know, at 2 years, if you start bringing up these things and then you're like, oh shit, this is who I'm with. Like, I didn't know that. I mean, then you're already pretty invested at that point, but like, how do you actually communicate these things without it becoming so serious? Like right off the bat, after the third or fourth month, what you were saying, how women are really smart and that they start to see patterns and evaluate how you respond in certain situations. And this is a subconscious thing. It's not like they're planning these things out, but how can men be more conscious about these things and just say, like, for me, I advise men, even on a first date, to tell a story about some things that are really important to them, figuring out some sort of light story about a friend of theirs, where something happens that gives them a good indicator on a value that's really important to them. So whether their value is about being playful and fun, or about being supportive and a good listener, or about like whatever the value is, it's creating some semi-truthful story around it to see how that woman reacts in that time. So I guess I'm posing the question to you, what are your tactics so that you can find these things out a little bit earlier so you don't waste a long period of time? And the thing is, if you are enjoying a lot about a woman and there are small things, you can start to adjust those later, and they're not complete write-offs about her right away, because there's always room for growth and learning and all of that stuff. But anyway, but what are your tactics for discovering these things about a woman you're interested in?
I think that's a really important question for men, because I think most men, when they're dating a woman that they're really attracted to and they want to be with her, they completely ignore reality.
So do women.
They're just
women.
Yeah,
do
that's
too.
True too. Yeah. Okay. So they're not really paying attention. So they ignore red flags. A lot of times, there'll be a red flag on the first date, second date, third date, and they just ignore it because their interest in her is so high. So the first thing
or
is
she
just
has
to
big
kind
boobs.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why his interest is so high, probably.
Right.
But
her boobs are high. Yeah.
One reason of many. She's also really fun to be with.
Right.
And So I think the first thing is just actually looking for red flags is a big step for most men. And they're like, oh, wait, I get to qualify women into my life as well. So it's not this kind of like manipulation thing or like playing games or whatever. It's just actually seeing if she's a good fit for you and not just, oh my God, I'm so attracted to her. And so just looking for red flags.
What about the idea of someone seeing a red flag and then in their head, they're like, oh, but she'll change or he'll change or I'll get them to adjust or something. Is that a bad thing to do? Unrealistic?
Right. Great question. So depending on what the red flag is, obviously, if it's something that's an automatic deal breaker for you,
she has a beard. Should... That's what it is.
Yeah, well.
Well, that can be shaved and lasered off. So that is fixable.
Yeah, pay for a treatment or stop calling her, whatever.
But she may not be open to it.
So if it's a huge red flag, obviously, then you don't have to keep communicating with her. But if it's kind of a medium-sized one or a small one, then you just kind of make note of it and you look for a pattern. And if that red flag comes up again, then maybe you break things off with her at that point.
Or you talk about them to clarify.
I don't always
think you have to end, like, red flags mean bad person.
Right. Yeah, you can get a little more information. You can see what they feel about it. You can see what they think about it. Maybe you're misreading it. It kind of depends on what the situation is.
Right.
But in terms of trying to change other people, if you don't like her the way she is, then she's probably not the right woman for you.
Do you really believe that?
Yes, absolutely.
If you don't like certain things about the way that she is.
No, okay. So there's obviously no one is perfect. There is no actual perfect person for you. I want to get that out there right there. I think that there's no such thing as a soulmate. And if there is, you have thousands of them. And so we're all imperfect humans. And I'm not saying that everything is perfect about her. I'm talking about like things that are over your line in terms of what you can tolerate and what your values are. And so let me give you an example. If you're on a first date or a second date with a woman and she starts talking about her exes and she mentions that she's cheated on every ex she's ever had, that's a pretty big red flag. And you should think seriously about whether you want to continue with her or not, unless she elaborates on like how she's dealt with that right now and she's changed or whatever.
Right.
But you can't make her change. She has to say like, oh, I had this thing in the past. I did this process to heal myself and now I don't have that anymore. But I think it's really dangerous to try to change another person and you can only change yourself.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I do want to ask one question. Can you provide some guidelines for men on things that they should be listing as what they're looking for? And I know it's different for every age group, but I know that we talked about in the beginning of the show where a guy's like, oh, she's hot. Like, she's perfect for me. Are there better things to be, not that that's a bad reason, but what are the things that you should be looking for if you are looking for a relationship and somebody to mesh your life with for, you know, a year, 2 years, or for life? What are three things, let's say, or what are some guidelines to figure out how you figure out who actually is a better match, a good match for you?
Sure. There's actually a lot of factors to look for. And the most important ones, if a man wants to be happy long-term, first of all, the most important thing to look for in the beginning is just that she's actually interested in you and doesn't have some other agenda for dating you. And so I think like the first thing to find out is if she's actually interested in you or not. And this is why I advise men to take women on a cheap first date, not necessarily one that makes you look cheap, but like having one drink or a coffee or a happy hour or something, just because that filters out women who are only there because you have money or something like that. So the first thing is she's actually there because she's interested in you. It seems obvious, but it's not obvious to men. I don't think they're even looking at that. And then in terms of her qualities, you want her to have a flexible attitude towards life, whether you're with her or not. So this is a quality that she has, no matter how interested she is in you and no matter how she's treating you. It's just her general attitude in life. If she has a generally positive attitude and is able to kind of handle things fairly well, that's going to help you stay happy with her over the long term. That's a really important one. So let me give you an example of that. Let's say you're with a group of friends. You've been dating her for 4 or 5, 6 months, whatever. And you guys all want to go to this really cool place. And then because she doesn't have a really flexible attitude, she's like, no, I don't want to go there, me. And she kind of like ruins the mood for everyone. over a long period of time, that's really going to cause a lot of resentment inside you, and you're not going to be happy with a person like that long term. So that's the first thing, is a positive, flexible attitude. And then the second thing that you should look for is someone who is giving. And so this is not to take advantage of someone, and it's not saying that men shouldn't be giving too. It's just that for a man to be happy over the long term, it's important to be with a woman who actually thinks about you sometimes, thinks about doing something nice for you, and doesn't just think about herself. And so those are two really, really big ones that are just part of her normal personality, regardless of how much she likes you. And those are really important things to look for.
I think I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think a lot of guys, their standard sometimes is just like, is a girl into me because I'm having such a hard time getting any girl whatsoever? So the first one that looks at me is going to be who I'm set on. How do they get out of that?
For a lot of guys, it takes going through a horrible relationship and divorce, but hopefully you don't have to go that far. You know, I mean, if that's the case, you might ask yourself how you can work on yourself to become more attractive to yourself and in general. You know, are you working out a lot? Are you eating well? Are you taking good care of yourself? Because those things are going to give you more options in terms of the women who are initially interested in you. And, you know, if you're doing online dating, then hire Kristen to help you with that, for example.
Yes.
Hell yes.
And so, you know, like you want to have...
Marnie.
Yeah, or...
But
yeah,
probably
Marnie,
Marnie.
Of course.
No, Kristen's better with online.
Just Marnie.
No.
I think that if you don't find that you have a lot of options, you probably aren't doing everything that you can to put yourself out there. And so maybe you need to be more social. Maybe you need to work out more. Maybe you need to work on your online dating profile. Whatever it is, find a way to get several options that are acceptable to you so that you can start practicing this stuff and actually meet someone who's right for you, who makes you happy.
Right. Well, it's interesting the values that you were speaking of. Like, I think that those are wonderful things to look for. But the truth is that you don't, if that's, those things are not important to you, I mean, they're nice things to me. I would be looking for that, but they're not like essential to some people. I mean, they should be, but like maybe they're not giving and maybe they're not good listeners and maybe they're not those people as well. And they are not positive people. So they don't want those things. I'm just trying to like not shove guidelines down their throats, but I love those things that you're saying, because yes, those are really important things for wonderful longevity and a positive, fun life. How do guys pinpoint specifically what they would need in a partner? Like, how do they identify that? What would be beneficial for them?
Yeah. So the thing is, the biggest killer of relationships and attraction is resentment. And those are two things that really reduce resentment in a relationship. And so even if you don't necessarily value it yourself, over 50 years, you're going to value it whether you think about it consciously or not. So those are things that I really think you should look for. But beyond that, in terms of like your own, I think the biggest thing in terms of your own personal stuff that's outside of these things that basically research shows that these kind of make you satisfied over the long term, including like, you know, integrity, she's able to trust you, she's trustworthy, all those things, she's loyal. Besides those things, for your personal taste, the biggest thing is your values. And so if she shares your values, that's the next thing after these kind of general things to look for. And so look for someone who shares a lot of your big values. And then, of course, just think about what you want. That's a big step for a lot of guys. Actually write down a list like, okay, if I had my perfect woman, what would she be like? And list all of those qualities on a piece of paper and then go through them and compare them to each other. Say like, okay, if she was funny, but she wasn't really smart, which one would I choose? And then
I like
kind
that.
Of like,
that's me.
Yeah. Just compare them to, yeah. Yeah. Go. You're smart and funny as far as I know. I mean, I've only listened to a couple episodes, but
ask us, sir.
Yeah, you know, teacher's pet.
Yep.
Not really. Not at all. Actually, I got in trouble a lot in school, but whatever. Just kind of go through your list and figure out which ones are actually the most important to you. And I think again, most guys have never thought about this at all. And just taking that step of writing down the things that you might want is a really good place to start.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. We're going to take a quick break. And then after the break, Jim, I want to talk with you about how to behave and act with a woman that you have decided you are in a relationship with, like steps for the first 3 months to a year, and potentially even longer. But if anybody wants to check out Jim's program, which, what was it called again?
It's called Attract and Keep Her.
Attract and Keep Her. Go to winggirlmethod.com/JimKeep. winggirlmethod.com/JimKeep. And we'll be right back.
This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do to certain things until we talk through it. And if we don't know what we want, how can we be doing anything right in our lives, but especially dating? So if you've done therapy before, or you're just dipping your toe in, BetterHelp is a way to get back into it or to get started in such a convenient manner. It's done all online. It's designed to fit your schedule. It's flexible, convenient. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And guess what? You can feel free to switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. I know for me in the past, when I had done therapy, trying to just get a therapist to respond in the first place was hard, let alone switch therapists. So BetterHelp is the way to do therapy today. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/askwomen today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/askwomen.
If you listen to the Ask Women podcast, then you are already miles and miles and miles ahead of other men when it comes to attracting and getting the girls you want. But I must confess, there's one missing piece in the puzzle, and that's flirting, or the ability to ignite sexual chemistry with any girl you meet in a matter of minutes. Most guys suck at flirting. They can't flirt their way out of a paper bag. But as your personal wing girl, I can't let you be one of those guys. That's why I want to show you the most effective step-by-step formulaic approach to flirting with any girl you like. This formulaic approach has been tested on thousands of girls and has been proven to work like magic. Yes, magic. You just apply the formula and see results instantly, and it's that powerful. To find out everything about this flirting formula, all you have to do is go to winggirlmethod.com/flirty. I've made a special video for you where I reveal what this formula is all about. Go to winggirlmethod/flirty and you'll find out all about it. All right, we are back with Jim Wolf. Thank you for sticking around with us. And again, thank you to our sponsors of the show. They are wonderful and they help us keep this on the air, as do the people who listen to the show. So thank you to all of you for continuously listening to our podcast and supporting Christian and I. Jim, so before the break, I was talking about how I want to figure out how to navigate these first 3 months to a year in a relationship, because I've been having a lot of questions lately from guys, which is so refreshing for me to hear, you know, that they're asking about, okay, now I have her, how do I keep her? What are some steps and some rules? And I realize I don't really have rules and guidelines. I have opinions on how to behave and what to do, but you've thoroughly thought through this. So give me some basics of how to behave, how to act, and what to do during those first, you know, few months of the relationship all the way up to a year.
Okay, awesome. So this is kind of what's in my system, and I'd love to share as much as I can with you here in the show. So
yeah,
when you first meet a woman and during those first 2 to 3 months, you're basically building that attraction up to the point where you can be in a long-term relationship and she's interested in you enough to make that commitment. And so that's actually, it's so interesting because the things that raise a woman's interest in you are not the same things that maintain her interest in you. And once she's already kind of deeply connected to you, she feels like she's in love with you, she has really high interest in you, and now you're in a committed relationship. At that point, that's when these kind of behaviors that a lot of guys think are good on the first date actually start becoming good.
Yeah.
So once she's already super interested in you, then when you like kind of leave her a little note randomly once in a while, she might really like that. Whereas if you do that same stuff on the first date, she's not going to like that. So that's why it's kind of confusing, because the right thing to do is different at different times in the relationship.
Okay. Can you give me an example of something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a really big one, actually. So there's a thing called affection. And one way to kind of show affection is to kind of like hold her and just kind of look into her eyes, and not without any ulterior motives. You know, you're not going to go in for a kiss or anything. You just kind of give her some attention with your eyes in a really strong way.
Okay. Oh my God. Let me just jump in real quick.
Yeah.
Dudes that only give affection when they want something or want a piece is the worst.
Yeah.
Do not do that. Okay.
Right.
Kristen out.
And that's awesome. I totally agree with that. Yeah. And you know, during the beginning stages of dating, you probably don't want to be doing that a lot either. It's kind of maybe creepy if you do it on the first or second date. But if she's already
in love
with you.
Why are you in love with me already? Exactly. Yeah, you have to wait for her to fall in love with you.
So that's the biggest point that guys miss. Women tend to fall in love slower than men. You know, like you can see a girl walking down the street and just be like, oh my God, I want to marry her. And that's, I don't think women really understand that that is real for us. it feels just like that. But for women, it can take some time usually. So you have to let her interest in you catch up to your interest in her. I think that's what the beginning stages of dating are about.
Okay.
You know what I've noticed that women tend to have more masculine type of behavior at the beginning of a relationship sometimes than men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're slower to fall in love. They're a little bit less affectionate. They're not as obsessed. And I think guys go into it thinking the girl's going to be like overly affectionate, overly in love, and they're blown away because that's not what they show in the movies, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's going to take some time for that to happen. And once she's like that with you, that's a great sign. That's really good. So once a woman's interest has reached that point where she's actually in love with you and you're in a committed relationship with her, then you have to maintain that interest. And you can do that for as long as you want. But it takes a little bit of work. Just like anything else, you have to put something in to get good outcomes out. And so one of those things that's really important is positive attention. And the biggest part of that is continuing to date your girlfriend or wife after you're already in a committed relationship. So even if you didn't go on traditional dates and you just kind of hang out, you should still go do things together frequently. Even if you have 7 kids and you have 10 jobs and 5 mortgages, whatever it is, you should find time to have a light and playful time with her at least once every 2 weeks. I mean, that's a general guideline. Once a week is better if you can do it. Yeah. People are busy, so that's cool. But just to maintain that vibe that you had when you first met, you have to create that. And you create that by continuing to take her out. No. Just like in the beginning, you want to keep... I always tell guys that keep dating her or some other guy might start.
Right. It's very true. It's very, very true. I love that. Actually, you know what? While you're talking, I'm going to interrupt you because I do want to backpedal a little bit, because I do realize that the 1 to 3 months is really important. And if you're open to it, I'd kind of like to discuss and like delve into that, because it's how do you get to that point where she says, I want you to be my boyfriend? Like, what are you doing during that time? Because I got somebody who wrote into me saying, oh, I've been seeing this girl for, you know, 2.5 months, and this is happening and this isn't happening and this happening, like all these wonderful things. And he'll say like, well, okay, how do I keep the challenge up? And, you know, do I text her back right away? I'm like, yeah, she said, I love you already. There's no more challenge on that level. Like, text her back.
Yeah, you won. You already won.
Yeah, you're in it. But
she says, I love you. You win.
Yeah, exactly. Now we get to move on to the relationship. But like, how do you get to that point without, you know, being too distant and too challenging? Like, how do you slowly give more without, again, becoming creepy or needy or overly independent?
Okay, so let's go through that whole beginning stage, and that's awesome. And I heard you talk about on another episode, I heard you talk about this too, where it's like, where does it stop being a challenge? Because you have to kind of take action as well. Well, here's the difference. You have to lead and also not chase. There's a big difference between leading and chasing. So leading is like, give me your number. Do you want to go to this coffee shop at 7 p.m. tomorrow? You know, that's leading. Whereas chasing is like, you got her number and now you're texting her 5,000 times.
Right.
There's a difference between like sending her that one text saying like, hey, let's meet up versus sending her GIFs for 5 hours per day.
Right.
So you have to lead, but chasing is not good. So when you first meet a woman, obviously you have to establish attraction and build rapport and all that stuff that you've talked about a million times in your first conversation, get her number, or maybe you met her online and you got her number, and then you have to go on the first date. So the first thing to do is ask her out. And it's so surprising how many guys just never ask her out. You know, like if you're interested in a woman, ask her out.
Yeah.
Don't just have this like fantasy of like, well, maybe she likes me, maybe she doesn't. Your job is not just to get her to like you. Your job is to find out if she likes you.
Right.
Because nothing happens unless she's interested in you first anyway. So don't kind of beat around the bush. Just find out if she's interested in you. And that doesn't mean kind of like text her 5,000 times a day. That just means take steps forward and see how she reacts. So once you start a conversation with her, you have her number, maybe wait a few days and then ask her to meet up with you. And when you ask her out, ask her to meet you on a specific day, at a specific time, for a specific activity, and give her the details of that.
Yeah.
And you want to pick it. You don't want to try to pick something that you think, obviously you want to pick a date that you think she'll enjoy, but you don't want to try to sit there and think like, what's the perfect date to impress her? What you want to do is find something that you think will be fun for you and for her, and then invite her to join you.
Yeah, how can she impress me?
Yeah, a little bit. It's a two-way street.
Yeah.
You know, we get into this, like some guys go too far with this, like, oh, I'm going to qualify her and I'm the king or whatever. Well, actually, it's just a two-way street. And because most guys don't do any qualifying at all, you kind of have to talk about it that way. But really, you're going to be qualifying each other. And so just make sure you're doing your end of that.
Yeah.
And then if you make it through that first date, you have a fun time with her, tell her good night, tell her, hey, thanks so much for the fun time. And then instead of texting back and forth with her 5,000 times a day, maintain a little bit of contact, but for the most part, give her some time and space to think about you.
Yeah.
Because
what do you think? Sorry, I'm going to interrupt, but what do you think about kissing on the first date?
Okay. You certainly can. For me, what I recommend is going for a kiss by the end of the second date, no matter what.
Okay.
Or at least putting a feeler. If you can't go that far, put a feeler out and see how it goes. So I think by the end of the second date, you have to go for a kiss. Otherwise, it turns into a friend zone situation. And so if you want to kiss her on the first date, you can. Here's what I recommend for that. If you're not sure if she's interested, you can put out a feeler like, hey, if you keep looking at me that way, I might have to kiss you later. And then just kind of see how she reacts to that verbal cue about kissing. And then that will kind of tell you if she wants to be kissed or not in a more kind of direct way where you don't have to just awkwardly go for it and have her turn her face or whatever. So you can try that if you're not 100% sure if she likes you. If you think she's interested in you, I recommend waiting until the end of the second date to build up that tension even more and make it even more powerful when you do kiss.
Okay.
So that's my recommendation.
Okay.
And
I
then,
like it.
Yeah, I mean, here's the biggest thing that guys don't understand when it comes to dating, in my opinion. A woman's interest in you goes up the most when you're not with her and you're not texting her 5,000 times and she's thinking about you in her own mind. And you have to give her the time and space to allow that to happen. That's where her interest grows the most. So between dates, you want to give her some time and space.
Yeah.
And again, if she texts you, you can text her back. You can have fun, be playful. Just don't do anything serious. Don't have like rapport building conversations over text. You know, you want to get to know her in person. And then you want to ask her out again. And so you go through this process of continually asking her out and then waiting a little bit and asking her out again. And then if she shows up on the third date and she's kissed you on the second date, she kisses you again on the third date, that's a really positive indication that you can make it to the point where she wants to be your girlfriend. Because most women will go out with you once, maybe. If they're interested in you, they'll go out with you twice. And if they're really interested in you, then they'll show up, they'll be excited, and they'll show up on time for your third date. And of course, they'll kiss you or kiss you back enthusiastically.
Right.
So those are the things that really matter. Instead of just sitting there like wondering like, oh, does she like me or not? Oh my God, I think she really likes me. And thinking with your emotions and your hormones. Instead, just follow these checkpoints. Did she give you her number? Did she say yes to your date invitation? Did she actually show up on the date? Was she on time? Did she kiss you after the at least second date? Did she show up for your third date? And then here's where it gets really interesting. If you keep repeating that process about 6 to 9 times, so after about 6 to 9 dates, during that period, at some point, and sometimes it's earlier, but usually you want to think about this not just as a first date. You want to think about the first 2 to 3 months as kind of your first impression, as the first stage of dating. So back up a little bit and think about the first 3 dates and then the first 6 to 9 dates as kind of like your dating process instead of just the first date.
Okay.
And then when she gets to that 6 to 9 dates, at some point, if she gets interested in you enough, she's going to bring up the idea of being in a relationship with you in some way. Now, most women are not going to just directly be like, hey, do you want to be my boyfriend? Even though some women will, but most women are not going to do that. So what they're going to do is they're going to bring up the topic of being in a relationship in some indirect way. So they're going to say something like, hey, where is this relationship headed?
So my friend, what are we? Asking me, like, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. So they're gonna bring that topic up, and that's the point when you know she's ready to be your girlfriend, and that's when you can ask her. And I recommend waiting for her to bring that up because it's all about her interest. And so once her interest is high enough, that's the right time. And the only way you're gonna know is by looking for those signals from her. And then when she gives you that like verbal cue of like, hey, I'm kind of ready for this now, then you can, you know, a little while later or whatever, you can say, hey, do you want to be my girlfriend, or however you want to do it.
Okay. I like that.
And that's kind of how that first part goes.
Okay. And so like what behavior changes once she's like, I'm in? Like, do you start sharing more? Do you start bringing her into your life more? Or is this done in the 6 to 9 date time window?
That's a really good question. So a lot of the things that maintain her interest are things that you want to do from the beginning. They don't make her more interested in you. So some of these things can make her less interested in you if you don't do them, but they don't make her more interested in you. So they just become more important after she's in love with you and her interest is really high. So for example, respect. Obviously, you want to respect her from the first date. However, after she's already kind of being vulnerable with you, she's super interested in you, respect becomes really important for her to stay in love with you. Mm-hmm. And so an example of this is not checking out other women when you're on a date with her. Mm-hmm. So obviously you shouldn't do that on the first date, but it's even worse if you do that after she's already your girlfriend or your wife.
Oh yeah.
So
Okay. Yeah. So this guy I was talking to on the phone the other day, he was talking about his ex-wife, and I haven't seen what she looks like, and I know he's very interested in me, but I said, was she, I'm assuming she was very pretty. And he's like, oh my God, she was so hot. She was like really hot. And so that already, it's like, if I ever marry this dude, which I'm sure I won't, if I do, I'm going to be holding that against him for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Cause
it was like, he's trying to court me, and he's like, oh yeah, she was so hot. She was beautiful. Like you can't, even if that was the truth, eventually maybe down the road you can, you know, be more honest, but in that you have to tiptoe a tiny bit at the beginning.
But wait, let me ask you a question about that. What did that do for you? Like when he said that, did you pull back? Did you feel disconnected? Did you feel challenged that you have to like step up? Like I'm just asking because it may have actually had a good reaction. You may not have liked hearing it, but it may have had a good reaction.
No, not for me.
Okay.
I definitely pulled back and I felt disconnected. And so it's not like I was like already head over heels or anything like that, but it was like whatever tiptoeing forward I was doing, like slowly going, okay, all right, I'm on the phone with him, he's not that bad. Then I started tiptoeing backwards. I was like, oh, okay, that grossed me out. It showed that he really wasn't aware of me in the situation.
I would have the same reaction.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
If I was early 20s, I think that it would make me try harder to get his attention. Not necessarily make him have me like him more, but I would definitely try to get his attention on me if I really liked him. But I think that would be a turn.
Now you're entering the competition to see if you can win.
Yeah, exactly. But now I'd just be like, oh, we're not on the same page.
Yeah, at this age, I'm not interested in competing.
But I think even if you're young, I think that there's a better way to say that. Something like,
oh my God,
well,
yes.
I only date women that I'm very attracted to.
Yes, exactly.
Then that's also complimenting you without saying any compliment.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a red flag too that you have to pay attention to. It's like,
yeah, okay, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about talking about your ex.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, is he still hooked on her? Is he still into her?
Yeah,
still,
God, you know, okay.
Now we're in Chris's therapy session.
Yeah, I love
it. Thank you. Now we're talking.
I think men and women both make this mistake, but I think men make it more often. It's not a good idea to talk about your exes very much on the first couple of dates with a new person. Because again, like you just said, they're going to think like, oh, maybe he's not over her, or maybe he has issues with that or something like that. It's not a positive thing. It doesn't help you build a connection with someone. What you can say, like if a woman starts talking about her exes or whatever, first of all, never put down her exes or your exes. So even if you think the guy was a total D-bag or whatever, you don't say that to her.
No, I was going to say, I'm totally okay if you want to talk shit on her. Because I think that is a connection point. I mean, not talk shit to the point where it's like, this is weird and why are we so focused on our exes? But if you can come together and mutually agree that, like, maybe, you know, he dislikes her ex and you're like, yeah, not that you want him to hate her, but I think that's a little bit more acceptable, at least in my world, to talk about rather than to say how beautiful and hot and gorgeous she was.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. So you can be honest about it a little bit, but I think also a woman, sometimes if you say a lot of negative things about your ex, she thinks like, oh, maybe that's going to be me at some point. And, you know, she doesn't want to hear like that you're going to say those bad things about her later. And so it's really just kind of a dangerous topic to bring up.
Yeah, just have
and
some tact.
In general, yeah, you just want to say like, you know, she was cool, it didn't work out, whatever. And don't really get into the details. You're there together to start something new. You don't necessarily need to rehash the past. Now, again, like, after you're with her for a year or two and you're having a conversation about it, maybe you can talk about it a little more.
Yeah, go into detail.
in the beginning, not a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I think that's like a big difference of when you're in the relationship and when you're not in the relationship yet, about investing more of yourself slowly and continuing to do so as you get deeper into the relationship, that you ask questions, you share stories about yourself, how you think, how you feel, what your past was like. That's how you get closer and closer and closer and closer. And there are tidbits of that. There has to be in the very beginning, but I like what you're saying. In the beginning, it's not all rainbows and butterflies. You definitely want to give sincere responses to questions that are being asked about some hard situations, but you may not want to delve into the nitty-gritty emotional part of it because that can take away from the fun, playful side. So you can still be real and give like a real answer. Like, yeah, like my last relationship, you know, tore me a new one. It was really difficult and challenging and heartbreaking.
But that's good news for our situation.
Right, yeah. But you can,
I've got two holes now.
Exactly. And then you can say like, but I've learned so much from that. And then, you know, as you continue to date, you can share a little bit more. But I think like once you get into the relationship, that's the point when you can start sharing a little bit more thoroughly and honestly and tell more details about the things that happened.
Definitely. Yeah, I think you can definitely give a real answer. I think you should do that and then gracefully transition into something more positive instead of dwelling on it.
Yeah, I agree. We're actually getting up to the end of our show right now. I have so many more questions for you, but I believe that you have a lot of those questions answered in the program that you created, which really dives into the details and the nitty-gritty about how to actually do this, how to maintain a relationship, how to select the right women for you, how to keep that new, fresh feeling alive so that she doesn't jump ship and start dating somebody else. And so people who want to find out more details about that program of yours, Jim, they go to winggirlmethod.com/jimkeep. winggirlmethod.com/jimkeep. Jim, thank you so much for coming onto the show and sharing all this information with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Kristen and Marnie. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Kristen was not as moody as I thought she was going to be. I'm glad that you were able to perk her up a little bit.
It's because I've had the mute button on, just crying.
Right, I know. She's like, oh no, that's horrible.
That sucks so much. There's no way around that, Kristen. That sucks a lot.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry,
but next
Kristen.
Time, Jim, I will rip you a new one for sure. Yeah.
I hope so. You know, I'm writing another book that's kind of cool. So maybe we can do it again later if you guys want.
She's like, it's not so
cool. Absolutely. Yeah. If you call your book cool, you already deserve my wrath.
Right, exactly.
I hope so. I want more of that. Come on.
I know he's disappointed after listening to our show now. Well, she likes you. So anyway, thank you so much for coming on to the show. Kristen, thank you for doing the show today, even though you are going through a hard time. And I'm really sorry that you have to go through this right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've met him and he's wonderful. So yeah. I'm really sorry.
It's just, he's been my best friend for 5 years. And so
it's hard.
It's just hard to say goodbye. But
it's such a deep connection, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm shallow, but this is actually deep. So dogs do that to you. Yeah, they make shallow people.
Yeah, totally do. Unconditional love. You don't care about their values or any of that. They just love you, and you love them.
And that's true.
And he didn't talk about how beautiful his last owners were, so.
Maybe he was.
They were ugly, don't worry.
Right, they definitely were.
Anyway, thank you to both of you for coming onto the show today and sharing all of that wonderful information with us. Again, if you want to find out more about Jim, go to wingirlmethod.com/JimKeep and you can write in questions to our show. I know we didn't answer any today because I just thought Jim had a lot of helpful information. I didn't want to throw any questions at him. But if you do want to send in questions for our show for us to overanalyze with our other guests, then send them into ask@askwomenpodcast.com and we will overanalyze them on air. New episodes of the Ask Women podcast come out every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific. Please go and subscribe to our show. Do not download individual episodes. It's a waste of a time for you when you could be spending that time meeting other women. You guys are awesome. We'll see you next week.